The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. It is the middle of July, and we're sitting here and we're about to talk about figure skating that happened a decade ago.
That's true. Yeah.
By which I mean like a couple months back.
So like before I was born.
Yeah, no, basically. I was my parents were not born when this figure skating happened, so I'm very excited to talk about it.
Generations have passed.
Many, many things have happened, by which we mean that we're... Look, okay, here's the deal. Life happened to both of us a lot in the past couple of months, and we blinked, and it's no longer March, and it's almost the end of the summer, and we still haven't talked about some of... what went down in this back half of the 2024-2025 season. So we're here to rectify that.
We are, yeah. And I had 1,000 jobs for a while there. And now I have like none. Or I'm about to have none. So I'm about to be so locked into this podcast.
Well, here's
the thing.
You guys
are not ready for the level of unemployed engaged in this podcast I'm about to be.
Here's the thing. I am currently a freelancer. If anyone needs a writer, hi, you know where to find me. But also, it's about to be the Olympic season, believe it or not. I feel like I haven't unpacked some of my bags from when we last hung out somewhere to watch the last Olympics, but a new one is about to happen. And that's terrifying for many reasons. But as luck would have it, we're about to be so locked in that I think that makes up for the way we kind of, as the kids might say, fell off towards the very end of last season, you know?
Yeah, like how you demonstrated falling off by falling off.
Yeah, no, I...
It was like word painting.
So many things are happening in my brain and also in figure skating. Before we go back in time, I want to share with you that I was working on my calendar because I have many things that I need to keep track of. And I was just kind of clicking through the next couple of weeks because I have some travel coming up and I wanted to put in the calendar. And I don't know about all of y'all, but I have the So You Want to Watch Figure Skating calendar, like just enabled on my Google Cal, because it makes my life easier. Yes, I am a Virgo. And I clicked to next week. And to my shock, awe, and maybe horror, things are starting to happen. I was not expecting the beautiful, deep magenta of the So You Want to Watch Figure Skating calendar to pop up. But things are starting to begin. Cranberry Cup is in like 2 weeks. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't. I guess I could theoretically go to that.
Well, that's much to consider. Do you want to go back in time first before you travel to Cranberry Cup?
Yeah, before I make plans for new Boston-based events that I may or may not go to, let's talk about one that I didn't go to, and I kind of regret it.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think there was a world in which I would have made it. Like, I think that I don't think I had like much of a choice, to be honest, like in terms of scheduling and finances. But I do wish that that had not been the case and that I had been able to go, because I remember, I'll never forget driving by the TD Garden, like literally like driving right by it as the women's short program was starting and being like, hi, Amber. Hi, Alyssa. Hi, Calvary.
You're stronger than me because I have such deep-seated theater kid instincts that I would have been like, I'm just gonna camp out. I don't know where people might come. I'm gonna stage door worlds. Like, I have such a problem with if I'm close to something. Well, that's a lie, because Guns N' Roses are performing at my hometown as we speak, like a 5-minute drive away, and I'm here talking to you about figure skating. So I guess not always, but for skating, I guess I would have caved.
Yeah. I think I was too intimidated. I was like, I would, I mean, I've seen many of these people in person, and even that is a little bit too close for me. I feel like I'm not worthy. But I am worthy to talk about them and scrutinize their performances, apparently, so.
Scrutinize. If anyone's new here, I'm impressed that you've made it in the middle of July in this weird off season. We're qualified by being just kind of yappers and, I guess, arts people. We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. And also, this happened ages ago, so do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, obviously.
All right. Well, we're going to, for those of you who are not new here, what we're going to do is the usual. We're going to kind of go through the podium, but we're not going to really talk to you about what happened, like, beat by beat, because if you're here, you know that at this point. This is not hot off the presses commentary. This is just kind of our look back on whatever the fuck happened in this past season. Just this kind of an overall, through the lens of Boston.
Yeah, also, I rewatched World Team Trophy this weekend, and so
That may or may not come up.
Yeah, that may or may not come up, and I say rewatched. As I was watching it, I realized that I never watched it, entire segments of it in the first place.
Oh my God.
This is the level of, like, everything is blurred together that I was operating on this spring. So we're going to talk about it. So let's start with men, maybe, because I feel
Yeah. Men happened. We ended up with a podium that I don't know if I would have predicted exactly as it went down. Bronze, we had sweet, beautiful, current training Olympic silver medalist Yuma Kageyama, who has been giving some very nice interviews in the weeks and months since, where he's like, yeah, no, I'm coming for gold at the Olympics, which is awesome, because I feel like some of how worlds happened might have, you know, and some of how this season happened might have, like, I hope, walk with me here, I hope, like, reframed things for him, because people like to paint some other competitors as, like, unbeatable, and, like, everyone else is competing for, like, second and third. And I like Yuma being like, no, that's not the narrative here. Here's what we're actually doing, you know?
I absolutely agree. And I think that, like, there's been, maybe since, like, last year's Worlds, this general vibe around him this season that he's putting off, like, I don't know, a little bit of, like, a Charlie Brown, like, oh, I guess I'll just do my best, you know? And it's not really possible to win. And that didn't really serve him that well. I feel like his programs weren't super showy in the way that they could have been. And I think that the execution was, you know, hit or miss. He, in this event alone, you know, he had second place in the short and then, like, 10th in the free. So there was inconsistency there.
I love men.
He menned. But I think that what is missing is him saying, no, fuck you, I'm going to win. And that fight is, like, the last ingredient. So if that's what he's going to bring to the next season, I'm like, bring it on. That's exactly what we need. Because I think everybody else believed it already, you know?
I completely agree. I feel like he is at a point, hopefully, it sounds like it, where he can remember that it's not his first rodeo and he very much knows what he's doing. Here's an exciting thing. Some of the people we're talking about, not all of them, but some of them have announced what they're doing for next season. So we could kind of simultaneously do first impressions of what we think those programs are going to look like, which I think
I would absolutely love that. I would love that because I only know some of them. Like, I haven't been keeping as meticulous a track of it. So if it hasn't randomly come across my Instagram feed, then this is going to be news to me.
Okay, so here's what Yuma is doing. Both of his programs are choreographed by Lori Nicol, which does not surprise me at all because they were working together last season. She did his Rain in Your Black Eyes and his former Olympic programs. Like, it's very rare for him to deviate from Lori, so that's not anything new. He is doing I Wish by Stevie Wonder as his short, which, first impressions, how do we feel?
I feel embarrassed because I don't think that I know the song, or is it one of those ones that I know, but I don't know that it's called that.
Yeah, I think that's it. But I like, as a musical theater person, I like a person straight up doing an I Want song as an Olympic short program.
Listen, that speaks to me. That's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want. What I want is an I want song. That's a new meta level of...
Wow. It's a fucking title of show.
I was going to say it's very title of show.
Very yeah. title of show. We're truly aging ourselves here with our musical theater references. And then he is doing Turandot as his free skate, which I will never say no to.
I'm definitely, definitely on board with that. I think that he deserves this. You know, I think that's he deserves this and Turandot deserves him.
I might be spreading misinformation, but I believe he's getting like a very special because his the list here says performed by Christopher Tin. And I do think it's the one where he got a very special personalized. Okay. Christopher's acclaimed completion of Giacomo Puccini's final opera Turandot is due to release in early 2026. Recorded at Abbey Road Studios in London, UK, the musical will also be featured as the accompaniment to star figure skater Yuma Kageyama's free skate program in his 2025-2026 season, which culminates in his competition at the 2026 Olympic Winter Games. Is directly taken from ChristopherTin.com. Which is simply so exciting and puts other people who don't want their music used in figure skating to absolute shame, because I feel like Christopher Tin's realization that people have been using his music or his arrangements in skating and then like completely committing himself to being involved is very exciting and very fun.
Yeah, and I always love like a musician skater muse kind of partnership.
Yes.
Muses and like they work together and creatively are like
not as an exogenesis.
Not as in like Muse exogenesis, Matt Bellamy.
What if Matt Bellamy gets super into figure skating finally? I feel like that's
Didn't somebody like make him watch the Camila one from like a million years
ago?
Oh
god, I'm sure someone has. I tried to forget all of that.
I have a vague memory of this from like our figure skating Reddit.
I try not to. Here's my thing. I'm trying so hard not to think about the ROC and whatever may or may not happen there. I will cross that bridge if and when we get to it. Also, I feel like what
not
we're talking
about... Not in my world.
About,
not in yeah, the world I'm living in.
No, look, I'm delusional enough to pretend it's not happening until it happens.
Same.
The other thing we have to acknowledge here, obviously Puccini, obviously Italy. We're about to see a lot of like Italian classical music because people are like, oh my God, Milano, like, let's do it. But I don't mind that in general as a choice. I think it's like when you're going to a party with a theme, you kind of dress appropriately, right? And I feel like it's the same. Like if you're going to an Olympic country, you might as well kind of commit to like the aesthetic and the sound. I don't know.
If you're going to an Olympic country, you want to serve Olympic cunt.
There we go. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been our Olympic coverage for the next fucking 9 months.
I like the level of classic, like people have been skating to this since skating was invented, kind of repertoire that this opens the door for, because the past like 10 or however many years, couple Olympic cycles, it's been very like, this is so exciting that we can have lyrics and we can have contemporary and we can push the envelope. And like, I obviously really love that, but like, I think that the pendulum can swing too far one direction and then, you know, for it to come back a little bit, maybe like old is new again, you know, this would be the perfect venue for that. Like Italy would be the perfect venue for like just a nice like romantic like swing back of the pendulum, right?
I completely agree. And I don't personally have a preference in one direction or the other. It's very case by case because I love a big sweeping classical program and I also sometimes really enjoy a more contemporary take on things. So I hope that we're about to get a very fun balance of both. But who am I to say? I don't know.
Do we know what his other program is?
It's the I Wish Stevie Wonder short.
Oh.
And then turned out.
Okay.
Which is a very
I have to
which
cut
is,
that my memory
yeah.
is so
no it's fine no it's fine it is again I'm melting as we speak. It that's a fun package, right? That, as we say in the drag world, is showing the judge's versatility, isn't it?
Yeah, that's two contrasting monologues right there. I'm into
that. Oh my God, it is. And then, moving on from this sweet man who I wish him, God, I want him to have a good season so badly. I am really excited. But the same statement goes to perhaps for some people, surprising second place, surprising silver at Worlds. I personally am not surprised. It feels right and correct. Mikhail Shaidarov of Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I love this kid. I think that obviously, we it's hard to talk about him outside of the context of Ilya, who won gold, surprising no one, especially the fact, I mean, even if it hadn't happened like 6 months ago or whatever, none of us would be surprised. None of us were surprised at the time. But
no.
I think part of what makes Mikhail Shaidarov so exciting is that he is kind of giving Ilya a run for his money in a way that maybe we hoped Yuma would, but Mikhail certainly, I mean, he is a showman. I think he's still growing in that area because he's still young.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, he's really like bringing a lot of passion, and his technical ability when he's on is like totally off the charts. And I kind of have this controversial opinion that quad axel notwithstanding, like that's its own thing, right?
Whatever.
If we took the quad axel out of the equation and then we like did an alternate universe where Ilya and Misha were just like swapped as human beings, I feel like Mikhail Shaidarov would be as big a deal as Ilya Malinin if he was born American and he was skating for America.
Oh,
instead.
For fucking sure. Oh, yeah. I was talking to my coach a while back because I'm still in off season. I'm about to go back in the next couple of weeks. But way back when my season was still happening, we talked about it and I was like, I'm not a gambler, but I would put like 10 bucks down on Mikhail having like the surprise Olympic gold or like something insane happening. And she was like, yeah, they're never gonna let that happen because he's of a smaller fed and everything, and obviously whether we like it or not, there is a lot of social geopolitical shit that gets influences the way things go. I'm not implying that there's any anything, but I would be very surprised if a skater from a very small fed is allowed to outshine the golden man of a very, very big fed. That being said, I'm now reading on Amisha's wiki that last month the National Olympic Committee of the Republic of Kazakhstan announced that they were giving him a grant for the next season, which I think is very exciting because he's obviously a huge deal back home. And I think that's very, very important as well. As a person of like a country with smaller Olympic feds, we really, really care about, you know, any athlete that brings us any fame in any sport. So I think it's really exciting that he's getting that support as well.
Yeah. And I think to your point, and we're going to see this play out a lot over the next season, I think that it's about the narratives, right? But I think that particularly in an Olympic year, it's not just about the athlete's narrative. It's very much about like how the athlete embodies the sort of like character that we've given to the country, whether we realize it or not. And I think that particularly with men's skating, it's the archetype of the trailblazer, the renegade, the bad boy who like doesn't care and is gonna like push things and be like, you know, and it's I don't know, like not to get like unbelievably like galaxy brained about it, but doesn't it give this whole idea of like America is like, we're a young nation, we're scrappy, it's that Hamilton thing of like, ooh, I'm a bad boy country because I say no to daddy Europe, you know what I mean? And like, okay, I made that a little bit sexier than I meant to. Not daddy Europe, but what I'm thinking about is, you know what I mean? Like, America has this very, like, scrappy, like, we do it on our own. We built our own way. We're a pretty new country. We're trailblazing. We don't listen to the rules kind of vibe to it.
I love that you think that this is what the rest of the world thinks of y'all.
No, I do not. It's not even what I think of it. No,
it's very much not. I'm testing. No, I know what you're.
No, I'm aware. Right. That's what America wants to be seen as. Like, America as a pick-me entity is like, this is our propaganda. This is our, and like, so if we have like a young renegade skater, like that can represent us, like, I mean, even to a certain extent, like Nathan is kind of that. He's like giving like, I wear fingerless gloves and do cool shit. And I'm like an athlete in this sport.
You know, like any. Yes. Not to get even more Galaxy brained about it. And I need everyone to know that we're like, there is a lot of tongue in cheek, like winking to the camera here happening in this audio medium.
How? See if I can wink louder so you can hear.
Oh my God. Winking ASMR.
The wet slapping of my eyelash.
I hate that. Oh my God. I hate that. How do we think this vision of the like fucking Hetalia America TMTM.
Thank you for bringing up Hetalia before I did.
Look, you said Daddy Europe. We're already here. Hi, everyone. Welcome. We're back. How do we feel about Bo Natin, who we're not going to talk about because he's retired. He hasn't said it, but he's retired. And Ilya both being like first generation immigrant kids, because that's like a whole other thing. Because I'm sure that somewhere in the great United States, there's someone who wishes both of them were, you know, 17 generations back, just so purebred corn-fed American. And neither one of them is that. And I wonder what that does to that narrative. And I don't have an answer to that.
And it's interesting to me that, like, you could then go into it further of, like, well, Ilya is white and, like...
And so blonde and blue-eyed and beautiful.
He looks like the little boy on the old Kinder chocolate box, if you know what I'm talking about. I can't see him and not think that. And I know I've said that about other people and that maybe that's just what I see when I see a little Aryan boy. But Aryan boy, don't go into that ice rink.
Ilya is Slavic. We will not have you do that to us.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
How dare you? But there's two ways in which you can be blonde and blue-eyed in Europe. And he is arguably the correct way. Please don't drone strike me. I'm just making jokes.
Okay, well, I think that the boy on the Kinder box is Aryan. I think it's pretty safe to say.
Yeah, he's...
We don't know him. We'll do an expose bonus episode on what his life is like.
Oh my God, we go full genetic genealogy on the Kinder boy.
We don't want to interview him. We just want to know who his parents were and stuff.
I'm sure there's many fucking articles of like, remember the Gerber baby? She has 17 kids of her own now, and here's all of them. Like, that kind of bullshit.
For sure.
Faux journalism.
Yeah.
We're talking anyway, about Ilya now, I guess.
We are. And I think here's what I want to say. This is I don't have like an overarching world changing take right now, even though I just did. I'm sorry. I don't have a second one to pull out, but whatever. My small take that I actually stand by in a non tongue in cheek way. Hold on. I have to burp.
That's it.
Done. No, the thing I stand by is that in rewatching World Team Trophy and seeing Roman Sadovsky's spectacular short program, I was just really taken by how I think that's what Ilya wants to be, is that style and that level of like cool, but still like, you know, I think it's like that exact flavor of it's
soft
you know
boy,
what I mean? It's giving
Slavic soft boy.
Yeah,
Slavic first generation giving, North like, American Slavic soft boy, TM.
To me, the artistic aesthetic where they seem to be taking Ilya is giving we have Roman Sadovsky at home, the Roman Sadovsky at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
I almost wish Roman would like coach Ilya because he's always posting these cool dancing videos and shit. But that's the difference, is that like he's a dancer. Like you can tell he's like at home learning his little TikTok Jungkook dances and like.
It's the K-pop. We should get Ilya into K-pop, I think.
I wonder if he is. I feel like if we were better stans and maybe like 14 years old, we would immediately know the answer to this question. Cause you know, somebody's on his live, like right now being like, did you watch K-pop Demon Hunters? Which sidebar, I loved K-pop Demon Hunters.
I still have not seen it. I still have not seen it because I've been busy watching so many episodes of Disappeared, the Investigation Discovery reality show. Or not reality, like true crime show about people who disappear. So that's where I'm at in my journey.
It's pretty aptly named.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you get so frustrated because it's always like a very complex case. And by the end of it, you're like, but what happened? And the whole premise is, we don't know. It's not good.
Oh, you think that like every episode's going to be the one where they're like, we found them.
Yeah, no, I always hope. And then the sad thing is it's an old show. So sometimes you Google the people and it's like, yeah, we did find them, it didn't end well, and it's like, oh fuck, I wish I didn't do that. Anyway, sorry to get like true crime millennial on you.
That's fine. No, but I just, yeah, and I sidebar too, like I don't know if K-pop Demon Hunters is funny or entertaining if you're not like really, if you never had a K-pop phase or
I've like been told never... it is.
Okay, cool. I loved it as like a K-pop lover, but
I have been told it is because I was like, I don't go here. Like, I've very, very, very vaguely gone here. I don't know if this is for me. And several of my friends have said that it works, even if not. All of that being said,
I'm sure we'll see people skate to it. Like, I would love to see people skate to it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've heard that the music would lend itself to that.
There's a really good, like, romantic duet that's like one of the better songs in the movie, and I think that would be really good for those Korean, I want to say, ice dancers whose names I always forget, but I sat behind them when I went to Worlds in Montreal, and so I'm like, my besties who I sat behind, Yaquan and Hannah Lim.
Yes, them. All of that to say that Misha and Ilya have both not announced their programs just yet, so we can't speculate there. Maybe we'll do a August episode at some point and talk about that. Ilya has been posting, how do I say this nicely? Some vague shit of none of it. I can't find any of it on his Instagram now, so I wonder if it was all stories, but we're like counting down to something in August. And again, I've been so offline that I cannot possibly tell you what's happening there. But my guess is it's either going to be another questionable merch drop or he's going to tell us what his programs are going to be.
Wouldn't it be fucking hilarious if he did a logo change like the ISU did?
Oh my God, we're counting down and then he had 5 minutes on Canva and not even a dream, just like a vague vision.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm sure we've had this conversation before, but now, given all that we know now, what would you have him do? Like, is there anything he could announce that he's going to do and you would just be like, okay? Okay. Because for me, well, you answer first.
No, I'm thinking because you're more on board than I am because you've seen him live and I haven't, and I'm a hater and we all know that.
I want to say I think that I'm getting a little more of a hater as time goes by because
that's the opposite of the usual narrative.
Well, for me, my arc with skaters is that are really, really hyped has kind of become, I'm skeptical, and then when it becomes clear they're not going away, even though I'm skeptical, I try really hard to get on board and see all the good positive things, and then I spend some time there, and then a lot of times they catch up to my expectations, and then I'm like, cool, so we're Gucci. But like with Ilya, I do feel as though I have spent enough time waiting in the positive realm, hoping that he will come to meet my very generous thoughts, and I do not feel that I have been met this season, and so I'm kind of like, he's got to really pull out all the stops for me. And my answer to my own question is that I don't actually know if there's anything he could say he's going to do that would make me immediately be like, yes, absolutely, I forgive you. Not that he's done anything wrong, but you know what I mean.
Look, I think we're human beings. We can't just stan everyone, right? Obviously, we've both been on record very, very impressed by his big, big boy jumps. Like, that's fine. I think we're allowed to be critical / questioning.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like, we're all sports fans here at the end of the day. And I think, like, what is sports if not, like, assigning emotional blame and negative feelings to people who've done nothing wrong to you? Like, that's just, like, what standing sports is.
Skating is funny, though, because I think our, especially, like, figure skating fandom as it is today on the internet, like, figure skating Twitter or, like, whatever, is so specific to the point where we really, like, piling onto the same people or like collectively deciding that we're all gonna like the same people to the extent that you kind of have to preface any dissenting, ever so slightly dissenting opinion by like apologizing so much for it or like making so many disclaimers, which I feel like if you were like an American football fan, you would, I don't know a single like player name right now that I could pull out of my head, but I feel like in like team sports or something, you could never be like, look, like I'm so sorry to the fine people of like Boston, but like I've just like been born and raised in Chicago, so I have to like, no one does that. People are just like, yo, fuck your team and I love my team. And we're like always like hand wringing so much.
I know. I think it would be funny if we this is like a sketch idea or like the sketch that could actually be a tweet is like American football fans talking like skating fans or like basketball or something, just being like, listen, I know that Patrick Mahomes has done so much, but like his wife's politics, I just like, it just really like concerns me, but I just, you know, but I want to acknowledge it. And it just like,
I had like a brief moment where my algorithm got confused and I got to see a bunch of Formula One tweets. And from
what the fuck was that? Was it related? Why does it want me to love Formula One? Do you get the one about the Bratz doll's hair care too?
No.
That's the other one it really wants me to be into is like the, not Bratz, what's the one after that? Monster High?
Yes.
The Monster High community, but like the drama of it, the way they fight and the way that they're mad at each other. It tries to serve me that every once in a while too. That and Formula One. I don't get it.
But my algorithm is currently just serving me a lot of Kelly Clarkson is the greatest vocalist of all time. And I'm happily living there. So I'm happy with that. But no, all of that to say, we are critical of Ilya, and I have, again, been slightly offline, but from what I've seen from his offseason, he's just backflipping all over the place and doing shit that doesn't look pretty and is very, very dangerous. And at this point,
the quad toe Euler backflip, or was it I forget what the first quad was.
Questionable Euler backflip. I hope to Jesus Christ I never see that in competition, because it's not, and I know, like, beautiful and ugly are like very objective terms, and as artists and like visual people, we shouldn't do that. I don't think it's appropriate, and it makes me sad. But also, I just worry about him because I would never. I've been on Kelly Clarkson Twitter. Watch this. I would never wish bad things. As a Kelly Clarkson lyric. There we go. I would never wish bad things on this man.
Who's wishing bad things on Kelly?
No. I would never wish bad things, but I don't wish you well is a lyric from the song Never Again, which is one of the bangers of all time.
I don't know that one. I'm going to listen to
that. Oh my God. It's such a banger. Jamie didn't know it either. And I performed it in drag a while back. And they were like, I've never heard this song before. And I'm like, what? It is so mean spirited. And she is so mad. It's incredible. Point being, she says, I would never wish bad things, but I don't wish you well. I don't necessarily agree that I wish Ilya everything. I hope he's happy and healthy and has a long, happy, great career. Having said that, one must wonder if you're doing all of that, frankly, unnecessary shit on your off season, are you not scared? And I know that young men are very rarely scared because they do think they're immortal. I do wish, for both the sake of me as a slight hater and the sake of his many, many, many fans and people who like are placing their Olympic hopes on him, that he would maybe contemplate before doing all that for no reason.
Yeah. And like, I know that we're kind of just talking about the podium here, but I do want to kind of shout out Adam Siahim Fa, who after last year's Worlds and the spectacular events that I was so lucky to see in person that I can't even be mad that I didn't go to Boston at that point. But just the way that he's been kind of falling apart this season, I don't know, it just freaks me out a little. And I think from a not even a concern for individual people's health, but concern for the sport in general, which is, you know, secondary. Obviously, people's health is most important. But
yeah, but
I think that whenever I see anything new introduced that doesn't appear to be a fad, that appears to be sticking around for more than one season, I always think, okay, so more and more people are going to do this, and then how are we going to escalate it, right? How is it going to escalate in a year or 10 years or 20 years? I swear to God, I do not want to see tumbling passes on ice. I do not want to see it. And I know that's where it would go. I know that's where it would go. And I don't want it to go there. And also, like, you can talk all day, and I'm not the person to talk about this, about, you know, what jumping on ice, what doing tumbling does to your body. But I have to imagine that doing something that's designed to be done on like a gym mat is probably not a great idea to then do. To then do on ice, on ice skates. Like, I need somebody to be doing the math on that one. Nathan Chen, maybe, because he's doing his like academics of skating course of study. Maybe he can get in on that. I don't know if it involves like any of the physio aspects of it, but I'm sure he could crunch the numbers. He seems very smart.
Yeah. And like, again, we're not the people to talk about this, and I don't want to get into like body type or anything, but like, if you compare an average skater to an average gymnast, it's very different muscle groups that get worked out, and it's like very, very different approach to movement. And I just don't want to see one or the other. And that's not the conversation we're having here. To circle back to what could Ilya do to immediately win me over, I also don't think there's a thing. And I also don't think that I just want to see, like, improvement in the performance, the component scores, because, like, we have been seeing a little bit of that this past season. That's fine. I think I would like to see my wish for him, right? Because I want to be on board, because it's inevitable what's going to happen, I think. But I want to be on board because I don't like being angry and I like watching my favorite sport not being mad at it. I want to see, like, going into the Grand Prix season, I want him to approach everything he's doing with absolute commitment and honesty. Like, I don't want him to appear to me as if he's stepping onto that ice thinking about how viral this is going to go, or like how trailblazing it is. I think that's like the difference between like him and like Roman, who does kind of the same style of skating, is I want him to feel it. And I don't know if that's a thing that you could just like coach someone to do. But you know what I it's the disingenuity
I totally know what you mean.
Of it that like this disturbs me. I'm sorry that I'm a hater. I am sorry.
No, but I think also like an example of a skater who was really like wearing the crown pretty heavily, pretty openly is Kaori, right? We'll talk about the women in a second. This is a good transition. But she has spent the last season being like, I'm a 3-time world champion. I could very well make it a 4-time. Like, I want to, but like, it is unbelievable amounts of pressure. And I think that once you've won as much as an Ilya or a Kaori has consecutively, it really does, I think, go a long way to then publicly acknowledge that in put it in the narrative in a way that's not like, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I'm unbeatable. Like, you're not a boxer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just be a little bit like, it's an emotionally vulnerable sport, you know?
Yeah. I agree. And we can talk about all day about aesthetic sports versus something that's more like, you know, fast paced or like more like strength based or something. Like,
also, boxing kind of is an aesthetic sport because have you seen their walkout outfits?
They're yeah. So rad. Oh my God. No, it's fucking camp. And we have been getting more of that. One thing that I want to say, I've been so excited about the walk-ons that we've been doing this season, and I know it's because they did kind of the same thing for all of the athletes at the Summer Olympics, and I am 99.9% sure we're gonna keep seeing the, you know, individual walk-ons onto the ice thing, which is very boxing. It's very that. I love that, and I love that moment of like seeing the performers step on to their stage and like kind of switch on the persona and all of that. I find it delightful. And I think it's hard to categorize, like, fucking comparing boxing versus figure skating or something. But I do think that in our sport that we love so much, you have 3 to 4.5 minutes to just, for whatever minutes, to hang out with a single person or, like, a duo of people. And you can see a lot of, like, I don't know if it's their real personality or, like, the persona that they're putting on, but you can see a lot of, like, how someone approaches all of it. And I think a lot of us as fans who maybe don't understand that much of like the actual physics behind it and the sports science behind it, I think a lot of people do connect to like, how does that make me feel, but like, what do I think you're feeling right now as you're doing this? And I think a little bit of, I don't want to say humility because that's such a like loaded word, and I don't want to be like, oh, those young kids should be humble, like whatever, like that's not it, but I think having like the respect for your sport and your audience and your own performance, where you like lock in and it's just the only thing that exists in those like 3 to 4 minutes, goes a long way. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but that's what I'm feeling right now.
But I agree with you. And shall we
women
use this time to talk about women?
So I love women.
In third place, we have bronze medalist Monet Chiba, one of 2 podium finishers in the women's, who did local girl Donna Summer music, which I absolutely
Hell yeah.
fucking love.
I love when the universe works in a way where the narrative just happens like as if it's a movie. I really, really enjoy... I mean, both of her programs.
And speaking of greatest vocalists of all time, like.
Yes. Oh my God, of course. Seriously. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Caitlin Weaver is a genius. We've talked about this program so many times, Her Last Dance. It's delightful. I think she had overall incredible that she was on this podium. She was second after the short. And I do think that there was like a little bit of like, oh, what's going to happen? Like kind of shaky pressure there, which is how she ended up in third overall because she was third in the free and all of that. I enjoy her skating and I find her delightful. There's very little else that we haven't said about this particular set of programs.
Yeah, and I've been thinking a lot about her too because the last few months I've been chatting a lot with friend of the pod, Danny, about what is the power ranking? Like, how would we rank our favorite Japanese women skaters? Because it's one of the most contentious Olympic team selections coming up. Oh, I refuse to think about it,
but God bless y'all.
And for me, I think on paper and in reality, in the real world, yeah, of course, Mone Chiba is like very much in the mix. In my power ranking of my favorites that incorporate all sorts of random sentimental and bullshit things, she's lower down. And so, but Danny really loves Mone Chiba. So we've been sort of like debating that in like a friendly way. And so they say that there's like a lot of star power there. And like, I don't know that I see the star power, but I see power. I see like physical power and like speed and technique and like really, really good consistency for the most part. I mean, whatever, like World Team Trophy wasn't there. No one gives a shit. Like, sorry, World Team Trophy. But I do think the thing that bothers me about her is so small and would be so potentially easy to fix. Okay, whatever. She has junior's arms and that's whatever. She'll grow out of that, hopefully. She's got a little bit of the junior stiffness. It's fine. I think that it's her poker face. Like, I think there's a very specific, I'm smiling, but I'm upset and scared in the eyes and eyebrows that I just don't like in women's skating. And it's like, I feel like it's not in men's skating as much because nobody's been telling these men to smile and smile and smile.
Yeah.
But I don't love that. And it's like, I would so much rather, like, okay, so like somebody like Amber Glenn, who I consider like a very honest skater in terms of the way she wears her emotions.
Hard on her sleeve. She, like, perhaps a little too hard on her sleeve sometimes.
Yeah.
But yes.
I've seen her kind of try and smile through it. But even that, I think there's like a very specific thing she does where she smiles and it's like she's in on, I'm smiling and I'm sad at the same time and it's complicated. And there's a very subtle difference that I think would be difficult for me to describe verbally between that face and the Mone Chiba face of holy shit, I'm really upset right now, but just keep smiling. Yeah. It's like that's giving a little more like Sambo 70 for me, and it immediately just turns me off no matter what's happening.
I agree.
It's not the whole time with her. Sometimes she has these beautiful moments. I hope they'll come out more and more, I hope. But yeah, I wish she would just like let that go.
I completely agree with basically everything you said. You know who doesn't get it? Public Enemy number, however, fucking Guillaume Cicerone, who I don't like bringing up, but he did do, for some insane reason, the choreo for her Olympic short. For her Olympic season short, her new short. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, what is it?
It's Sakura Sakura, and it's nothing.
You've seen the program?
I have seen the program or like clips of it. I haven't, frankly, I have not sat through the whole thing, but she did it at like ice shows. So it's been on the internet. And Guillaume, in addition to being potentially not the greatest human person on earth, he's a fine ice dancer, whatever. He has not choreographed a lot. And you can tell. And that program is, and I hope it's early days, and I hate when people judge programs midsummer, because Lord knows that like it takes a second to like get your body into it and like fully commit. I will be very, very surprised if this program ever becomes a masterpiece to Monet's full potential.
That sucks, because today, this morning, I'm really kind of just hearing this now, or if I did hear it before, I didn't internalize it. I was watching her free skate from World Team Trophy, the Ariana, and I think that I was watching it thinking, like, there is some variation in this, but it's a little too samey throughout to justify an entire long program for a skater who isn't showing the most range of different styles of movement in her choreography, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, at least with Let's Dance, there's this very obvious, like, we start out slow and then we get fast and we dance. And it's like baked into it. So it forces her to do some different stuff. I kind of thought, okay, like, whatever's going to happen for the Olympic season, it's got to be, like, not something that she has to demonstrate how we're supposed to feel about it, because I don't know that she's there yet. So that sucks for me to hear that that's going to be another one of those. But
yeah, unfortunately. And then maybe she'll make it a classic. I fucking hope so. I want to be surprised and, like, proven wrong.
Yeah, I'd love to eat,
like,
my words, because I think she's adorable. Oh my God,
I love being proven wrong in the sport. It's, like, one of my favorite things. And then her free skate, which I haven't seen, I don't know if she's performed it, is a Lauren Nicol Romeo and Juliet, which, okay.
That could be good. That has potential. Yeah. That could be great. It depends on what cuts of music they use. It depends on what she brings to the table. One thing I want to shout out, two things I want to shout out for Monet, because I think I've been kind of critical of her this season. I want to say a couple nice things. One, she blew my absolute fucking mind in the short program of World Team Trophy when, you know, she has that iconic bit in her early on in her Let's Dance, where I forget what the jump is, but she jumps, lands, and then holds for, like, an entire full circle, yes, that landing edge. Like, you know, we love to see that. She fell on that jump and yet somehow got up and then did the entire circle landing edge. Like, it was a little slow, but I'm like, holy shit, how did she do a running edge on a jump that didn't happen? I was like, my mind was blown. And I love that she knew that that was the moment. And so she had to preserve that, even if the jump itself didn't go or didn't fucking glide, as Dennis would say.
That's the kind of thing that tells me that she gets it and all of the thinking is happening. And I really, really, really badly wish for her for this coming season to really lock in and make the best of whatever this choreo ends up being and whatever those programs end up being. I am hopeful about the free. I am questioning and willing to be proven wrong about the short.
I will say, too, the second thing I wanted to say about her is that I think if I gave everybody a score from, like, 1 to 100 on their short program costume and their free skate costume, I think she would come out with the highest aggregate score of women. I love both of those costumes. And I think I could maybe pick out one or two that I like more in each, like, of short programs or of free skates. But I think as a package, I fucking love those costumes. That Ariana one, the color, like, that red-pink color is gorgeous. The way it kind of, like, is darker on the edges, like a rose petal. Gorgeous, everything. Like, I love that. So I hope that she continues to serve sartorially this season as well.
I agree. Let's talk about Kari Sakamoto.
Let's do it.
Frankly, one of the greatest skaters of our generation, and I feel truly lucky and kinda, like, I don't know. There's, like, a tongue-in-cheek thing of, like, I've been fucking telling you guys, because I realized recently that I have stanned her for her entire junior and senior career, because if this is how you're learning it, I'm so sorry, but she has officially said that she will be retiring after the Olympics, or at the end of the season. Translation / statement might vary. We don't know if she's going to show up at Worlds. Like, who the fuck knows? But I don't know if there's another skater, and I've been following this sport for 20-something years at this point. I don't know if there's another skater where I've been so excited to just be like, I've been there for all of it. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that awesome?
It truly, truly is. And I think, you know, at this point, we've talked about her so much and sang her praises that there's only, like, stray observations you can kind of make at this point. I think that toward the end of the season, yeah, it seemed like the programs were, like, not working the best for her. And she's announced her programs coming up, and they're very, very, I'm retiring. No, that being said, I want to be really clear. I thought that the short program was just fine. I thought it was lovely. I thought there was nothing, like, insanely thing about it one way or the other, but she did a great job. The free skate Chicago, we've talked about Chicago, and I was an early, like, yes, absolutely, this is going to be so good once she hits all the musical beats. Okay, I think controversially, I actually think that she did the best in terms of, like, really hitting the choreography on the beats, on the music, getting every single little thing at World Team Trophy. Like, I think she really, like, refined it up until the end. And that being said, once I saw every single little hand movement and every single little thing, I was like, maybe Marie France could have done a little less there. Maybe I didn't need to have her like point down on the word down, or like maybe I didn't need her to like play piano and then thrust for piano's hot. Like maybe it could have been a little more abstract and a little bit less French mime, but
could have been more Bob Fosse and less French mime.
Like I loved the moments where she was just kind of like doing a like a hand flick instead of like a let's mime a trombone. Like that's just my personal thing. But she, yeah, I think you know, Chicago will forever be one of those things where at least it like forced her to continue growing in a moment of her career where she really didn't have to.
I completely agree. I've liked that program the whole time. It's had its ups and downs, but I am a musical theater kid at heart, and I also have a whole bunch of solo jazz and burlesque experience. So I like I was looking at it through that lens as well, and I think it was fun and it was playful, and like you said, it did very much show us like a side of her that we haven't seen for like a while, or like haven't seen as she grew into who she is as a skater. That being said, I am genuinely, truly so fucking excited to be crying my eyes out every time she takes the ice for the next 9 or so months. I'm a sentimental little bitch, and I will enjoy fucking Sarah Brightman, who I don't like, and I will enjoy my Edith Piaf medley. Like, all of that is gonna... I'm going to feel my feelings and it's going to be great. And I respect her for being like, you know what? We're going out with a fucking lacrimose, sentimental, big bang of retirement songs. I respect it.
I agree. And I think that that's really smart, because I think that there are skaters who go out and they tell a story. There's skaters that go out and they skate emotion. There's skaters who go out there and like they skate just the skate. Like, I know that sounds reductive. What I mean is, I think Kaori is one of those skaters who goes out there and the skating speaks for itself in a way that is so hard. It's so rare that a skater can just go out there and be like, I don't necessarily need to be portraying a character or telling you a story. I'm going to skate, and like the triumphs and the highs and lows of this particular performance are the narrative of the performance.
Yes.
And I think that that's what's always been her strength. And that's something that I don't think you could teach that if you didn't already have that quality, but she has that quality, and I think that these songs are very meta, and so that goes with it. I think it would be weird if she was going out and skating like a Romeo and Juliet, because it's like, no, you're going out and you're skating like Kaori and Kaori.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm going to put one final image into your head, which I just thought of, and then we can move on and talk about the woman of the hour and finish this insane recap that we've been doing, which is so, it's weird. We're like looking back and looking forward and all of that.
What is time?
You know what just occurred to me? Because we're talking about like Kaori as like, it is her who is the narrative, and it's like the story of Kaori, and
she is the
particular
main character.
She is the main character. She is the moment, etc. One of my favorite moments at the 2022 Olympics, which is hard to say because we're not going to rehash all of that. I need to remind you, especially in her Olympic free skate, that she is a lip syncer. And when she feels it, she tells you the words. And I am emotionally not prepared for that to be happening towards the end of this upcoming season.
Oh, man. It's going to be everything we want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm already emotional. Do you want to talk about the listener?
Sure, I don't know that that's going to help you get less emotional, but...
Oh, no, but I was biting my tongue because I wanted to keep us kind of on track when you were talking about Monet and her smile that doesn't quite reach the eye. God knows that was my one thing with Alyssa when she was younger.
Yeah, and so it can be outgrown, Monet.
It can be outgrown, and it can come to, like, be a fully realized, genuine, heartfelt, deep performance. When you just start giving shit about it because it's your thing. And I'm not saying that Monet doesn't do that, because I haven't talked to her. But my God, Alyssa is like my one... This goes back to Ilya as well. She is my one skater where I was such a hater, and I was so not convinced. Mm-hmm. And when she retired the first time, I was like, this is fine. And she has made such an impactful comeback, and it's been so special, and it's so unabashed and unbridled and honest that it, like, it's everything that I want from a skater. Like, I want Ilya to be doing what she's doing, and I'll get it. You know?
Yeah. I think... Something I think about a lot with Alyssa is that the narrative at first when she came back was, mm-hmm. nobody does this. Nobody does this. Nobody does this. It's so hard. It's impossible. And she gave all those interviews where she said that her coaches and everybody told her, like, this is impossible.
Everyone was like, please stop.
Nobody's ever done it. Please stop. Yeah. No one's ever done this. It's impossible to do. And then she came back and did it so successfully that it was evident that she didn't just overcome a barrier, that she was better because of it, right? Like, that break, yes. obviously made her into this world champion, totally new skater, right? And I wonder, and I genuinely, I'm not saying this like rhetorically, like, I genuinely wonder, because mm-hmm. I don't know, like, how many other skaters would actually benefit from that, but don't do it, like, taking a nice break and living life, but don't do it because they're told that it's not done and it can't be done. And who's benefiting from keeping them from doing that?
I genuinely, frankly, don't know. And I feel like that's one of those things that we absolutely fucking can't. It's such a clairvoyant look into an alternate reality that you can't possibly speculate. Someone I do want to kind of tangentially shout out is Mia Kalin, who was being, you know, like, kind of spoken of as, like, this absolute, like, oh, she's gonna be the thing, and, like, she is technically absolutely insane as a teenager. She has recently announced that she's stepping away from the sport, and in a very, very honest statement where she talked about, you know, her relationship to the sport, her relationship to herself, like, growing up with all of those expectations. And I genuinely wish her oh, the absolute fucking best. I hope she enjoys the rest of being a high schooler and, like, college and all of that. I wonder if that might end up being one of those stories where she rediscovers some love for the sport on her own terms later on. And I'm just using her as, like, a random example, and I would never be like, oh, let's all, like, sit down and hope that she... If she never wants to step on the ice again, that would be so fine. But I did want to bring up that I feel like stuff like Alyssa stepping away and being so honest about, like, what it felt like and coming back has kind of empowered skaters who are just, honestly, even just a couple of years younger to start thinking about the fact that you can have a life outside of the sport and, like, what does that look like? And who are you aside from all of that? And I think we're about to, or, like, hopefully we might be about to, start seeing more of that, like, multifaceted, complex approach, because she did all of that and it won her fucking worlds at home, you know?
I know. I really hope so. I think, like, as an educator, I think that it's really important to just constantly, like, as young as your brain is physically able to make that distinction, like, to think, who am I versus, like, what do I do, and, like,
yes.
how those are separate things, and they're connected but they're not totally the same thing. And I always feel like I never thought about that until I was a lot older than I should have been. Like, I think I wish I had always thought about that as a younger person.
I think I'm still unlearning a lot of shit.
Yeah, no, and I definitely am too.
Like, I don't want to... We're both decently talented people, you know? We met in a program where 10 people from the whole world were there, one way or another. I think I still sometimes catch myself unlearning, you know, who I've kind of told myself or, like, been told that I should be because of things that I'm good at, or, like, things that I've... Like, I've been an actor since I was 5, and I've always known that I'm an actor, and, like, no one in my life has always been like, has ever been like, oh, this is the one thing you should be and, like, have to be. But, like, there are very long stretches of time when acting work just doesn't come to you. And it's really, really tough out there. And even at my big girl age of 31, I catch myself being like, do I say that I'm a former actor? Like, what is the deal there? And the answer is no, because, like, the shit you've learned and, like, your abilities and skill or, like, whatever experiences... don't go away if you step away from something and then come back or get the chance to come back or whatever. But it's a hard thing to unlearn and comprehend. And then we get into, like, fucking late stage capitalism and how we're all defined right. by, like, what we contribute to, like, the overall, you know, society and fucking end of year profit or like whatever. So it's a complicated, big, complex thing. And it feels so cosmically hard until Alyssa Liu is dancing at you about it. And then you just get it, you know?
Yeah. And like there's, so here's what I'm thinking regarding Alyssa. She's now bringing back all these triple axles.
Yeah.
That she's been cooking up and apparently are going really well.
Yeah. Hoping that goes good. I hope she doesn't get too distracted by them because it's been perfect without them.
Like, on the one hand, I'm thinking, okay, well, does she need that? Because she just won worlds without and, like, you know, whatever. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking, like, well, define, does she need that? Like, no, she doesn't need it to win. But, like, is she out here trying to win? No. Like, she did win, but she's doing this because she's trying to see, like, what she can do. And so if she's challenging herself,
I agree. You know? I think this is one of the times when I'm absolutely not critical of, like, going for the triple axels or, like, upping and upping and upping the technical shit, because at this point it feels like she's reclaiming everything that she was kind of, I'm not gonna say forced to do, but like everything that like as a younger person was kind of put upon her. And if at this point she's like, yo, fuck it, I'm gonna see if I can still do this, or like if I have it in me to like go at it this particular different way, I'm all for it and I'm very excited. She has not announced what she's doing next yet. I wonder, because both of her programs were so like particularly iconic this year for different reasons. I am very curious and very excited, and I have no pitches on my end for how we top that for like an Olympic package, you know?
Yeah, especially because there is a certain element of, you know, going to the Olympic season, there's always that strategy of what do I do that's going to work at the Olympics? And like, who knows how much of that she's even going to lean into, because she's just doing it for her so clearly, you know?
Yeah, I am very, very curious and I'm very excited to see where this takes us. Is this an episode?
I think it is, yeah. I think very quickly, I want to just say that this season in general, plushies have been underwhelming to me.
Yeah.
I want people to step it up. I want us to step it up. And a lot of that is on the arenas who need to allow more things. But one thing I want to say, and this is not even really plushy, but it seems to fit the general theme. Why – this keeps me up at night. Why in the kiss and cry of Team Trophy Italy, why did they have a sign that said don't put spaghetti on your ketchup?
Spaghetti on your ketchup or ketchup on your – what?
No, they said don't put ketchup on your spaghetti. Sorry. What is that? Who's doing that?
Oh my God, my sweet roommate does that. People do that. My roommate, and he doesn't listen to this show, so he won't mind me putting him on blast here. Sometimes one of his like go-to like burnout depression meals is he'll just boil the spaghetti and just put some liquidy wet ketchup on top of it. And it's technically a spaghetti with a tomato sauce, I guess.
I'm not here to clown on anyone's depression meal, but I will say it feels odd to me that given the assignment, please represent your culture in a fun and festive way.
Well, they
chose to attack a straw man who's doing their cuisine wrong. Like, what is that?
Italy is, like, so famous for their cuisine. It's kind of the same thing as, like, whenever Måneskin or, like, any one of them, like, whenever Damiano David does, like, an interview, people are always like, haha, how do you feel about pineapple on pizza? Because it's, I guess, funny to even more Western, most folk to see an Italian person get pressed about the sanctity of pizza and pasta.
I guess, but it's the going negative for me that's really perplexing, because it would be one thing if it was like a TikTok meme and it was in the zeitgeist. I don't see where it came from. It would be like if France was like, hey, look at this baguette. Don't shove it up your ass. Like, where did that come from? What do you mean?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, obviously don't. But like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I hate to end it on that point, but that was just what was haunting me. Okay, we'll end it on a more positive point. Team America had little like cardboard cutout faces of Alyssa and Amber, and I really love them, and I just kind of want them. If anybody knows where you can purchase those, I would love to have them just for my home.
You go to your local print shop. I always find it, I love World Team Trophy, and we all know that. I think I, in a mental haze, covered a bunch of it. I find like the team spiritness and the sportsmanship delightful, and I think it's fun to be silly with your teammates, and I really hope we continue seeing a lot of that as we head into the Olympic season. My one pitch, and it's a very July of 2025 fucking matcha Dubai chocolate 24 karat pitch, is whoever does customized little plushies of the skaters, give them Labubus. Customize a Labubu. Put a Labubu in Ilya fucking Malinin's vampire costume. I wish to see it. I think it would be so silly. That's all.
I think he would actually do that too, because I think that there's an interesting tension with Ilya between the macho, I don't need plushies thing, but like the, I will do it if they're popular. I mean, he has his dragons, right? But it's like, yeah, oh my God, fashion. I think
he's been like getting,
fashion, so he'll be a fashion boy.
He's been getting like noticed by How to Train Your Dragon and stuff, I guess. Like that's a whole thing because there is a new movie, I guess, and stuff. We're not getting into Labubus. Comment below. I don't know where you're commenting below. Get on Spotify, lets you comment now. Tell me on Spotify if you want me to talk in defense of Labubus on Patreon. And having said all of that, Patreon exists.
It does. And if I continue to let the algorithm serve me Monster High modification drama Twitter, maybe I could see if there's a way I could get like a blonde one and turn it into an Amber Glenn Labubu.
Oh my God, the Ember Glenn 24 karat Monster High Labubu.
Desperately seeking new jobs, but I, you know, if that doesn't happen for me right away, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's a lucrative career. Thank y'all so much for listening. We have been kind of overwhelmed, and we're really, really excited to be back in the Metaphorical Studio and doing this, and clearly very excited to be looking ahead. Coverage will be spotty until the season starts, for sure, because summer is tough, and we are doing a whole bunch of, you know, travel and stuff as well.
I'm moving, too. I feel like I haven't actually said this yet. No, it's fine. Yeah. I'm moving. I've decided that my time in my current place of life and employment and stuff has been awesome, but it's just, like, time for a new thing. I realized that, like, you can't just say, like, I no longer am working my jobs, and then, like, you kind of have to, at that point, you have to clarify that you weren't fired, right? Like, it's important to me to clarify that I was not fired.
No one has fired Megan.
I am leaving voluntarily to just go and be somewhere else that I want to be more right now for reasons. But yes, so that's that. But it's, I hate moving more than anything in the entire world, so that's gonna suck, and that's gonna be the month of August for me. So
if you want to support us in the meantime, find us on the internet. We are still on the cursed former Bird app. You can find us all over the place. Iced Tea Pod is the handle, and you can get in touch with us. It's probably going to be me if you DM us and someone answers in what might seem the middle of the night. We are on Patreon. We will be returning to doing Patreon live streams. We have some funny, silly ideas to kind of dip our toes into, you know, that side of things in the month of August and early September, which is also my birthday. Oh my God, that's coming up. That's exciting. Patreon.com/IceTeaPod. And the reason that y'all have stuck around, even when we've been kind of on and off, is why we have the lights on and have built a home here in the Metaphorical Studio. And we thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much to Neve, Madison, Cricket, Brooke, Michelle, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Joe, KM, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan. You guys are.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. You're the best. We'll be back so very soon. Thank you for listening. Love you. Bye.